Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are thankful and blessed that you are here to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us this morning. As we open this time of praise and worship, if you would, please bow your heads and your hearts. May we open up with a word of prayer this morning. Oh, gracious God and coming King, we bless you this morning. We thank you for the mercies that are new each day. Precious Jesus, we praise you. We gather this morning to sing your praises, to extol your holy name, to say hallelujah, for you are our Savior, our Lord, our healer, our sanctifier, and our coming King. So, Father, it's to this end that we gather to sing praises to you, to just join together and to say, this is your service. Use it to glorify yourself. Use it to do what only you can do in our hearts, minds, and souls. We commit this service into your care. In the blessed name of the risen Savior Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I'm trusting in God. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to lean on your everlasting arms. Father, because when Moses asks, who shall I say that sent me? And you say, I am, the great I am. Just as this next song, I am, holding on to you, Lord, let us remember that no matter what we go through, we can trust in you and we can hold on to you, for you have our future. In all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am. Love like this, oh my God, to find. I am overwhelmed, what a joy divine. Love like this sets our hearts on fire, sets our hearts on fire. I am holding on to you. I am storm, I'm holding on, I am. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah call. This is why it's to you I run. There's no space that His love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy you do bring us. We thank you for showing up here today, Lord. And allow us to remember that you are the great I am, that you hold on to us, and we're holding on to you, Lord. There's no storm that we can't weather through this life as long as we trust in you and hold on to you. For you are the air that we breathe, Lord, and we thank you for that. And giving us life, we thank you for the future you give us. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. With precious the air I breathe.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we really are lost without you. Lord, allow us to learn to lean on you, to trust in you, and have that reassurance knowing that you are there for us, because really we are lost without you. You are our light, and allow us to learn to trust in you and know that you have our future. Lord, if there's anybody here that needs you today, let them find you. Those that are not here, Lord, bring them back. And those that need you today, be with them. Bless this church, the pastor, and everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Before we continue this time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements here this morning. On the back of your bulletin, if you'll notice with me, we do have one change. The village changed the trick-or-treat times. And so we have been planning on doing trunk-or-treat here, and we want to do that during the trick-or-treat times. And so instead of Monday, October the 31st, that will take place here in the parking lot of Trinity on Sunday, October 30th from 5 to 7. You can see Rachel Meinke or Jen Latta for more information about that wonderful outreach ministry. Also, if anyone's interested in becoming a member of Trinity, please see me after the service, and we will begin a new members class here within the next several weeks. Lastly, we are in need of worship team serving individuals, whether it's PowerPoint or soundboard or anything else that Mike and Stephanie need, to be done with the worship team. So if you are here, our hope here at Trinity is that people would come in and they would belong. That's the first thing. And then that once they belong, they would believe. And once they believe in Christ, that then they would become a blessing to others. And how, friends, do we do that? We are a blessing to others when we serve, when we reach out, when we get involved and do things. And so if you are here, and you might have been here for a long time, and you might be sitting there saying, yeah, I belong, but I don't know if I really believe. Well, then you need to start there. You might be here, and you might be saying, yep, I belong, and I believe, but I'm not real sure that I'm a blessing. And so my challenge to you this morning is to be that blessing, not only to your church family, but also to those in the community and the surrounding areas of Gibsonburg here. At this time, junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. And if you will turn in your pew Bibles to page 1816 as we listen to a reading from the book of Galatians chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 22 through 25. And so follow along on page 1816 from the book of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us, friends, keep in step with the Spirit. May God bless the reading of His Word. At this time, as we continue this time of praise and worship, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath. Dying thief, rejoice to see that fountain in this poor Lisbon's stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing the vow to serve. I'll sing the vow to serve. I'll sing the power to save.
This morning we have a wonderful opportunity to hear from a gentleman by the name of George, otherwise known as Tater Jensen. And I'm sure that once we begin to hear what God has placed upon his heart and his absolute passion, you will begin to understand exactly why he has been given the nickname Tater. I can tell you that throughout all of the United Methodist circles, George is known very well. He is known very well for one reason and one reason only. He heads up all of the gleaning efforts. And what gleaning is, and I'm going to let George tell you more about it. He knows so much more about it than what I do. And so at this time, why don't we just give George a wonderful, warm Trinity welcome and invite him here to share with us his passion and what God has truly placed upon his heart.
Thank you for the warm welcome. And my wife told me as I was leaving the house, she says, "Are you going to keep it short?" I said, "Don't I always?" The story goes that this very mature woman would step out on her front porch every morning and praise God for something, whether it be the night's rest she had or whether it would be the rain to make the flowers bloom or whatever it was, she would step out on her porch and do that. Well, her neighbor would come out and he would get on her case. How many times do I have to tell you there is no God? And so this would go on every day. Every day she would praise God. Every day he would step out and say, "There is no God. I don't know why you're doing this." And then one day she stepped out on her porch and she says, "Lord, hard times has fallen on this poor soul. And I could really use some food. So if you would just be so kind to provide me with food, I would be ever so grateful." And again, the neighbor stepped out and says, "I don't know why you're asking God for anything, because there is no God. I keep telling you that, and you don't listen to me." And she kept going on, and the next morning she got up. And lo and behold, there was two bags of groceries sitting out there on her front porch. And she stood there and she said, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing this food for this poor soul." And at that point, her neighbor jumped out from behind a bush. And he says, "I tell you, there is no God. I provided those groceries for you." And again, the little old lady, the mature lady, raised her arms and she says, "Lord, thank you for the food and thank you for getting the devil himself to buy it for me." I love that story. Well, today we're going to learn about the vegetables of the Spirit. We hear an awful lot about the fruits of the Spirit, but we never hear anything about vegetables of the Spirit. We hear this in sermons and songs and all that, but I have always thought of fruits of the Spirit as those special items, the desserts, the sweetness that we have. But what about the vegetables? So often they're ignored and taken for granted in the Bible and in our world today. How many of us were told growing up, eat your veggies so you grow up to be big and strong? Well, I know about the big part, but I'm not sure about the strong anymore. But anyway, so I'm going to talk about the veggies and how they can make you strong spiritually. Each of the following vegetables has a lesson for us. And the first one is lettuce. Let us pray. Let us go. Let us do. It is truly the invitational vegetable. We can't do anything without lettuce. I got to tell you, a real crafty lady made all these veggies for me. She's quite good at it. Next, we have carrots. Carrots remind us of how we need to care for others, care for our loved ones, care for those that are not as well off. You know, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. We need care in our lives. We need to care for those that are not as well off as we are. When we take food down to the soup kitchens and all, it's amazing and how grateful people are, because we care, we do. That's hard to accept. We care because we do. And the next vegetable is an onion. The onion is a many-layered vegetable, and it's only after we peel back the layers that we get to the real goodness of the center of it. Just as the onion opens to us, so do the people that we meet every day when we're willing to give them the opportunity. When you really get to know someone, you find such surprises at their core. And you really get to know someone when you're out gleaning and working together. The same way when you really get to know God, when you really find the beauty of his grace and his joy, your life is totally new, totally different. You can become so overcome with joy that you burst into tears. And isn't that what happens when you get to the core of the onion? You just burst into tears. Our lives are a lot richer because of our relationship with God. And this next vegetable is very dear to my heart. Potatoes. If the potato teaches us anything at all, looks aren't everything. I mean, when you look at a moldy-eyed, brown, dirty potato, it doesn't seem like much. but peel it. And oh my goodness, the richness that is inside. French fries, mashed potatoes, you name it, it can be made with a potato. I think it's the most versatile vegetable that we have, and it is just so great and wonderful. How many times have we begun a task that was anything but attractive? Sorting clothes for the needy, cleaning up after a potluck, only to find a blessing from God in the accomplishment of the task. How often have we avoided a person that we felt was unattractive for some reason, whether he was dirty, sick, or just different, to only later discover that this someone needed us. We had a tractor trailer load of potatoes delivered to Christ United Methodist Church out in Oregon one year. And we had so many that we took our truck and put some several pallets of potatoes in them, and we said, hey, go into the city. So the Boy Scouts jumped up into that truck, and they went into the city. They went into this, I don't know what the name of it was now, but anyway, you can see it from the expressway as you go up 75. And the scouts came back, and this one says, you wouldn't believe what I heard today. And I says, what was that? He said, we went around knocking on doors, asking if the people wanted a bag of potatoes. They were 10-pound bags. And he says, when I knocked on this one door, this lady came to the door, and he asked her if she would like a 10-pound bag of potatoes. And he says, she looked at me, and she says, you know, I was just sitting at my table praying that God would provide some food for me. And I says, I hope you offered her 2 bags. And he says, I did, and she took them. I says, well, good. God bless him for that. We all need God's love poured over us. Someone who would enrich our lives beyond our wildest imaginations. I love the story that Tony Campolo tells, that he's walking down Walnut Street in Philadelphia, heading for the University of Pennsylvania. And he says, coming towards me was this dirty, scruffy, bearded old guy. He says, and I knew I was going to get tapped. And he says, there was no way I could avoid him. He says, and as we met, he says, this guy held out a cup of coffee, and he says, here, you got to taste this. This is the best coffee I've had in a long time. And Tony says, I felt about yay high, because he was giving me a blessing instead of me blessing him. So it's amazing about people. We never know who we're going to run into. Now, we've all done this with an ear of corn. And like I say, when we're out gleaning and salvaging food, or even in the grocery store, you go to the table there and you pick up an ear of corn, and you find that the husk has been pulled back, and you think, well, somebody didn't like that ear, so I'm not going to take it either. But if we pull back the husk on an ear of corn, and we look at all those kernels, some ears, the kernels are not all universal. Big ones, little ones, some even have missing kernels. But when you cook it, and put butter on it. And those of us that have been out gleaning in the fields, we eat it right out there. It's sweet. But when we cook it and put butter on it, what a taste. Delicious. And that's how we are in the eyes of God. Some are different from others, but we're all God's children. Corn also reminds us of how each of these tiny kernels are seeds that can plant an entire cornfield with thousands of ears. And while we're on corn, one of my favorite things, popcorn. We even had a farmer ask us to come out and glean a field of popcorn one time. Delicious, especially with butter on it. Anyway, it really gets going, doesn't it, when it gets hot? I mean, it just starts popping all over the place. And it sounds like that's what we should be doing as Christians. We are kernels in God's field. We are planted here to spread His word. His word about life. His word about His saving grace. And how we should all spread the word. Good old green beans. Everybody loves green beans. I shouldn't say that. My oldest son doesn't. Anything green is not healthy, according to him. But is the vegetable dear to many of a heart? As it is the core dish at many meals that brings joy to our hearts. And at the center of this green bean mushroom soup casserole, the dish made famous by United Methodist women across the country, this dish takes pride of place in times of love, in times of fellowship, when members of the congregation gather together for a meal and for worship. Or maybe even within our own families. It also appears at funeral feasts when congregations reach out in need to those who are grieving. And we see it right there next to the plate of, what do I want to say? The center of the Thanksgiving Day turkey. When we count our blessings, and we do have many blessings. People, when I meet them on the street, they say, how are you doing today? I said, I'm too blessed to be distressed. And aren't we all? We might have things going on in our lives, but even through that, we're blessed. As I did this at one of the women's functions, and a lady came up to me and she said, George, she says, you forgot a vegetable. I says, and what would that be? Oops, turnips. So what spiritual thing can we learn from a turnip? I think it's just what the name of the vegetable implies. Turn up, show up, you know, be a part of it. It's just amazing. And so we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, and it is amazing. People say, George, why are you doing this? I've been doing this for 16 years now. And I said, well, you know, God literally touched my heart. We're called to be witnesses, and let me witness to you. Oh, probably 17 years ago or so, I was at the Purdue University for a United Methodist Men's International Gathering from around the world. And one evening, I came down from the third floor in the dorm that we were in. I got out to the street, and I had this pain in my chest and down my left arm. And I looked up at the heavens, and I says, "Lord, this is not the time or place for this to be happening." And my father had dropped over dead at the age of 55. And so anyway, it subsided and went away. And the next day, we went out into the town of Lafayette, and we went door to door, letting the people there know about the little church up the street, that it was there for them. And I think we got witnessed to more than what we witnessed to them. But anyway, that evening, again, coming down from the third floor and hitting the street, and again, the pain in the chest and down the left arm. And again, I looked up at the heavens, and I says, I got a little bit rougher this time. I said, "Lord, you know this is not the time or place for this to be happening. And besides that," I even gave him an ultimatum. I said, "besides that, if anything happens to me, we've lost Maureen forever." Maureen is my wife of 56 years now, but she was having a hard time with God because of everything that was happening in our family. Our daughter being diagnosed with MS, our grandson of less than a year being diagnosed with cancer, and our youngest son also. And anyway, that's a whole nother story. So when I got home, I thought, you know, being a man, got to be macho, right? How can I do this and not worry the wife? I got to get to a doctor. So my buddy told me on the way home. He says, "I've already had a heart attack." He says, "So get your buns to a doctor and find out what's going on." So anyway, I told her about it. She made an appointment for me on Monday morning. I had gone to work. My boss wasn't happy when I told him what had happened. And he came on the job and kicked me out. But anyway, went to the doctor, they did an EKG, and the nurse is wiring me up. She says, "Why are we doing this?" And so I told her. And she says, "Did it ever occur to you that you should have went to the hospital while you were there at Purdue?" I looked at her and I said, "I was in good hands. What more could I ask for?" Out of the room she went. Anyway, I flunked that EKG. Doctor says, "I think we need to do a stress test." I says, "When do you want to do that?" He says, "We got it scheduled for tomorrow." I said, "Really?" So we did the stress test, and I flunked it miserably. And he says, "I think we should do a heart cath." And I says, "What does that involve?" And he said, "Well, we go up through the groin and check out and see if there's anything wrong." I says, "Is that necessary?" He says, "Well, George," he says, "from what we can tell, nothing has gone really bad." He says, "But I'm not going to guarantee you what might happen the next time." And I says, "When do you want to do this?" He says, "Tomorrow." I said, "You know, this is a riot." I said, "It's bing, bing, bing." I says, "If I called for an appointment," I says, "you would tell me, well, see me next month or 2 months down the road." I said, "But now all of a sudden," I said, "we're going to just get it done." So anyway, I went to the hospital, and of course, you got to get there, and you wait and wait. And the group that was going to help the doctor, we turned around and went through all the George Jetson jokes and the George of the Jungle jokes. And finally the nurse says, oh, there's the whites of his eyes. I'll start the IV. So Dr. Letcher came in and he says, George Jetson, I presume? I says, you got that right, doc. I says, now let me tell you something. I says, you've been out enjoying a great lunch. I've been laying here starving. So let's get this show on the road because I got me a bacon cheeseburger waiting for me in my room when you get done. He says, and you can kiss them goodbye forever, George. And I, but anyway, then he told me that I needed to start exercising more. And I said, well, I'm a plumber. I go from the basement to the first floor to the second floor back down to the basement. And he says, that's work. I says, you're telling me you ought to carry that 50-pound toolbox. But he said that exercising was doing something for 20 to 30 minutes at the same pace. I lived in Lucky at that time. And so I started a walkabout around the village and people that were having problems or whatever. I started a prayer ministry. And all during those walks, three or four times, I'd say, okay, Lord, you kept me here. Now what do you want me to do? And then one day I ran into my friend called Bud the Spud from up in the Detroit conference. Bud had been after me for years to feed the hungry down here in Ohio. And he says, you know, George, we send an awful lot of Michigan potatoes down there to feed you hungry. He says, when are you going to do it? So at this particular outing that we had, or gathering that we had, I ran into him. And he says, are you ready to feed the hungry there in Ohio yet? And yes came out of my mouth before I knew it. And again, I looked up at the heavens and I says, okay, Lord, but you better show me how, because I don't have the slightest idea. And like I say, I've been at it for 16 years, and I have been blessed more than what I have blessed others. If you look at our shirts, we have a Gleaning Alert mission, and it's an advanced special through the West Ohio Conference. We have a 24-foot box truck, and we are always asking funding from the churches to put a line item in their budget of $200 a year. It costs about $10,000 a year between insurance, tags, upkeep, and all of that. But I want you to know how important that truck is. In the month of August, now, an event is whether we go out in the field gleaning or whether a grower calls and says, I got two totes, four totes, or whatever, that you can come and pick up. So out of the 31 days in August, we had 25 events. That truck was on the road more than a little bit. We gathered in 71,445 pounds of fresh produce. We picked up a new donor out in Delta, Ohio. I haven't been out there yet to see this place, but it's called Nature Fresh, and it's headquartered in Ontario, Canada. And in this building, and I don't know how many acres this building covers, it's right across the street from the Delta Iron Works. But anyway, they grow tomatoes on the vine. And so Debbie Voss from Seagate Food Bank called me and said, George, you need to call Chris and talk to him. And so I did. And I said, well, we go out to Wasion every Monday morning and pick up anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 pounds of potatoes to deliver to the soup kitchens in Toledo. and some different food pantries. I says, so we can stop there and pick it up while we're heading out that way. And then Steve Sadowski called me from Swanton, and he knows that we go to Wauseon every week. And he says, I got a couple of totes of sweet corn here for you. So by the time that Randy, the driver, got out there to Wauseon to pick up potatoes, he had over 10,000 pounds of tomatoes on the vine. Our truck should only haul 10,000 pounds. We had two totes of sweet corn and then about 5,000 pounds of potatoes that day. But it's wonderful to be able to give that much. We picked that fruit of the Spirit as a contrast to the vegetables of the Spirit. And I'm sure now every time you have corn, potatoes, green beans, you're going to look at them a little bit differently. You know, it was a whimsical look at veggies, but it is an example of how we can learn from whatever God has in his creation. Just as God's grace is in everything we encounter, everything in God's creation tells us a story. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And if you ever get a chance to read the book by Richard Stearns, A Hole, H-O-L-E, in the Gospel, pick it up and read it. It will definitely give you a different look as to what it means to be a Christian. We're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you will always have the hungry. I understand why he said that. Because just like the story of the rich man, we're not willing to trust God completely. I told my pastor one day, I said, I got to ask you, I says, if we're truly Christians, I said, why do we have such a big bank account? Why are we hoarding the money when it could be going out and doing mission work? Think about it. A member of the church that I used to go to there in Lucky, he says, I don't know why we carry insurance on the church. If it burns down, we're either going to band together and rebuild it, or we'll just go off to another church. That money could be doing more in mission. So again, thank you for letting me share it with you. I appreciate it. I don't know how much time I've used up in your worship service. I don't see anybody yawning or falling asleep. So again, I thank you. If you want to be on our gleaning list, when a gleaning comes in, we send it out through the district office. Thanks to Casey Smith. She's a great help for us United Methodist men. In fact, we've sort of adopted her and made her a member, honorary member. Her and Becca both. So, again, thank you for letting me share. Father, we ask your blessing upon this congregation. And may you not only bless them physically, mentally, and spiritually, Lord. For without the Spirit, we cannot do anything. And Lord, I thank you for using me as a vessel to help feed your hungry. And Lord, may we all get involved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the precious gift of life. And because you live, we also may live. Amen. Oh, yeah, if it works. We have a video of about the hungry in this country. It's easy to find them in a third world country, but just watch, it's beautiful.
There are places in the world where it's easy to understand why children go hungry. Impoverished nations with weak economies struggle to produce enough food to feed their populations. What's not easy to understand is why more than 16 million children in the United States struggle with hunger. In the midst of the world's most vibrant economy, one out of every five kids won't get the nutrition they need today. The effects of hunger in America aren't often obvious to the casual observer. You'd have a difficult time identifying which of these children didn't have breakfast this morning, or which ones will simply go to bed hungry tonight. For their teachers, it's not difficult at all. Children who don't eat well perform more poorly than their peers. For some of these kids, school lunch will be the only meal they eat today. Undernourished little brains have trouble concentrating in class. They have trouble learning the skills they will need to continue learning throughout their student years. During these early stages, every setback has lifelong consequences for the child and for our society as well. As they continue to fall farther and farther behind their classmates, the opportunity to reach their potential fades. Many will never see a chance to go to college. Some will never finish high school. Their children will grow up in the same circumstances that hobbled them, completing the cycle of poverty. Together, we can break the cycle by making sure our children receive the nourishment they need to become effective learners, lifelong students, and productive earners throughout their lifetimes. When a child succeeds, we all share in that victory. Visit our website to find out what you can do to help us fight child hunger and make sure every child has a chance to reach their potential.
Before we close this service this morning, I just want to have George join me up here, if you would. I think the thing that really strikes me is when I see George, I mean, the spirit in you just comes forward. And that's a wonderful thing, and I thank you. I thank you for that, because I think of all the tens of thousands and maybe even hundreds of thousands of people that have been directly affected and impacted because you were willing, as you said, to turn up. You were willing. And I appreciate that, and I thank you. And I just want to pray with you right now for this ministry. And I know there's others. I know Casey and Becca are back there, and they've turned up too, you know, to be involved, you know. And sometimes I think we get caught up in a feeling like, well, I can't make a difference. I can't do anything. Well, yeah, we can. We can. Let us pray. Let us hear, as layers of an onion, the neatness of people and their stories. Let us really realize how the differences of the kernels of an ear of corn are all unique, so people are unique as well. And may we all turn up and be available and to serve. And so let's pray for George, otherwise known as Tater. And let's pray for him and his ministry. And so if you would, bow your heads and your hearts, and let's go before the Lord. Gracious God, we thank you, Jesus, for George. We thank you for his heart for you, for his heart for people, for his desire to turn up and to be used by you. Heavenly Christ, we ask that you would strengthen him, that you would uplift him, surround him with your love, and may your spirit rest bountifully and powerfully upon him. May you give him the vision and the insight that only comes from you to continue on, to press on. I pray for encouragers to surround him daily, that he might not get discouraged, but he would see your love for people in his actions, and may they feel that love, the love of you, Jesus. As he said many times, may we take a lesson from him, and may we truly be followers of Christ, and may we truly be the hands and feet of you, Jesus. May we truly rise up and be the body of Christ, our living Savior, and because you, O Lord, live, we too can live in a new and powerful way, and may you just continue to bless George. Continue to make his path straight and continue to anoint his way and continue to change the lives of many, many people. And may we be used in that same manner. May we turn up in many different ways, whatever the way that is, however you call us. May we be bold and courageous and step out and step in faith. And so bless George this day and for the days to come. We bless you and we thank you. In the holy name of the risen Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Thank you.
This is a little something from the church to you.
Jesus.
As we close this morning, may we all go forth and be the hands and feet of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. May we truly express his love, his grace, and his mercy, and his kindness to those that we come across their path. And may you truly, truly, truly be what God has called you to be, the light of the world and the salt of the earth and agents of love. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go in peace. Amen.